The fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. I would like us to consider the words of three verses tonight, verses 14, 15, and 16. The Lord, addressing His disciples and followers, said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that giveth light unto all that are in the house, that your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." The Lord told His hearers, one day when He was preaching in the temple at Jerusalem, He said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." John 8 and verse 12. When John the Baptist commenced his ministry, he not only bore witness of the Lamb, but he also bore witness of the light. John chapter 1. There at the beginning of that chapter, we read about the witness and the ministry of John. For we read in verse 6, "And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Now the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, the light of whom John spoke, is addressing his disciples. And he says to them, "Ye are the light of the world." For me, we have something here that is quite remarkable, quite amazing. That one of the great titles of the I Am, the Lord said, "I am the light of the world." The Lord has been pleased to give that same title to His disciples and to His followers. For the title that the Lord Jesus bears, He gives it to His disciples and He says to them, "Ye are the light of the world." This surely demonstrates for us the close association, yea, relationship that we have with the Savior. That we bear the same title as He does. You will notice that this title was given to His followers by the Lord Jesus Himself. Are we then not struck by the truth of the words? Because the disciples did not take this title upon themselves. This title was given to them. And the Lord Jesus is telling the truth about the disciples and about all of His followers. And He's saying to them, "Ye are. This is what you are. Whatever you think you are, whatever others say you are, this is what you are. This is what I regard you to be. I regard you to be the light of the world. I'm telling you the truth about yourselves. I'm telling you, you're the light of the world. That's what you are. And believer, that's what we are." He's not telling us what we may become. He's not telling us of what we might hope to be. He's telling us what we are right now. Right now, we are the light of the world. It's interesting that the Lord Jesus gave this title to His disciples, even though they had just become His disciples. These were not experienced preachers. They were just starting out with the Lord. They had just been brought to Him. They had just begun their service for Christ. And the Lord says at the very beginning of their service, ye are the light of the world. He didn't say to them, well, you'll have to wait until you gain more knowledge of me before you can become the light of the world. No. Even with the limited knowledge they had, the Lord Jesus says, ye are the light of the world. And dearly beloved tonight, you and I may have a very limited knowledge of Christ and a very limited knowledge of His Word. But we are still the light of the world. That's what the Lord says we are. Ye are the light of the world. And by giving them this title, He was also telling them of their task. A light, of course, is needed where there is darkness. The task before the disciples was there to shine in the darkness. That's our task. The Lord says, ye are the light of the world. You may say, I have a very limited knowledge of the truth. The Lord says, ye are the light of the world. You think of the light that shone in the darkness in the days and years of the Reformation. And many of the reformers, by today's standards, perhaps had a limited knowledge of the truth. Their knowledge was limited. But my, how they shone. And that light is still shining today. And so, dear child of God, this is our task. The Lord says ye are the light of the world. And your task, shine in the darkness. Notice what the Lord said to His followers. He said, ye are the light of the world. He didn't say, ye are the light in the world. Even though that is true, we are the light in the world. But the Lord said, ye are the light of the world. What was He saying here? In other words, He was saying, any light that is in the world, you are that light. You're the only light in this world. In fact, you are the light of the world. This world is a dark place. And the Lord says, you are the light of this world. There's no other light in this world. North, south, east, or west, there's no other light in this world. You are the light of the world. And the Lord is saying, let your light shine. So let us look at these words of the Savior, which are part of this great Sermon on the Mount. Let us first of all consider the instruments of light. Lord Jesus looked at His followers and said, ye are the light of the world. You will notice that He likens them to candles. Because verse 14, He says, neither do men light a candle. He's saying to them, you're like candles. Here's His description of His disciples and of His followers. The Lord describes His disciples as lighted candles. Now we know that a candle does not have any light of itself. A candle must receive light from another source. And when we look at man, man has no light of his own. Contrary to what some people believe, mainly those of the Arminian persuasion, there is no light whatsoever in the soul of fallen man. There's not even a spark of light. There's not a ray of light. There is not a beam of light. But rather the soul of fallen man is nothing, nothing but dark. There's darkness in his heart, there's darkness in his soul, there's darkness in his life. The natural man is steeped in darkness. Ephesians 5 verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." Paul says, "Ye were darkness." That's what ye were. In other words, everything about you is darkness. No light whatsoever. Notice also that if everything is darkness in man, and we're darkness before God saved us, then we needed to receive the light. That light had to be given to us, like a candle. Candle has no light of its own. It has to receive the light from another source. So it was with us. We had to receive that light. Matthew 4 verse 16. We're told we sat in darkness. John 3 verse 19. We're told that we loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because our deeds were evil. And if grace had not reached and saved us, we would still be in the darkness. We would be lost in darkness. Because as Matthew 22 verse 13 tells us, we would have been cast out into outer darkness. And there's something we should know. Whenever we are described as having sat in darkness, whenever we are described as having loved darkness rather than light, when Paul said we were darkness, sinners are cast out into outer darkness, it's all the same word. The darkness that we love was the darkness of hell. The darkness that we sat in our unconverted state was the darkness of hell. That's how much we hated the light. We loved the darkness. Because our deeds were evil. And if grace had not have reached and saved us, as we said, would have been cast out into outer darkness. But grace did reach us in the form of life in Christ. Look at that word again in John chapter 1. There in John 1 verse 4. In him was life. And the life that is in Christ was life. And the life was the light of men. The life of Christ is the light of men. In other words, when we receive new life, we also receive light. We are like the candle. We have just been given light. With no light of our own. There was no light within us. that light had to come from another source, and the source was Christ. And we who were dead in trespasses and sins were made alive in Jesus, and when we were made alive in Christ, we then became the light of Christ. We became the light of the world. Second Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light. It's the work of the devil to keep the light out. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. See, that's what makes the gospel so glorious. It's Christ. It's not the preacher that makes the gospel glorious. It's Christ. He's the glory of the gospel. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's where we got our light from. Just as in the days of the creation, God said, let there be light. God created light. We have experienced the new creation. That night, that day, that hour, that God in grace saved us, the Lord looked upon us and said, let there be light. And there was light in our souls, where before there was nothing but darkness. We who were in darkness, with no light in us at all, we now have that light and life. Colossians. Turn to Colossians. Chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. We are now the saints in light. Wonderful. Wonderful and blessed experience. And like candles, we have received the light. And now we are the light. Not only a received light, it's a reflective light. The light that we now have is the light of Christ. Christ is the light of the world. Christ has come into our hearts. Christ is the light that we now have in our hearts and in our lives. It is Christ who shines in us. Therefore, having received the light of Christ and called by His own title, ye are the light of the world, we must then reflect the life and the light of Christ. Look at 1 Peter. Peter teaches this. For in his first letter, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, there Peter says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You are to show forth the praises of Him. But note the word praises. Look at your Bible margin. the word praises may be translated virtues. We are to show forth the virtues of Him. We are to show forth the virtues of Christ. That's what we are to do. Because He hath called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Oh, believer, what a wonderful commission has been given to us. What a blessed task is set before us, making known the virtues of Christ. Sure, there's not a greater work on the face of this earth than making known the virtues of Christ. Making known His praises. Are we not glad that the Lord has made us His lights, His candle? Are we not glad that the Lord has made us the light of the world? Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And in that letter to the Philippian believers, he said in chapter 2, verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. It is the light, it is Christ that must shine in us if we are to make known the virtues of Him. The virtues of the Lord Jesus. That not encourage us to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to shine brighter for Thee. Make me a bright you'd say this is the only candle we believe in, this kind of a candle. And then we notice the division. Look carefully at the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, ye are the light of the world. There's a division here. There's a separation here. Because light and world are two opposites. The world is a world of darkness, a world of sin, a world of crime, a world of iniquity. The world is darkness. And here the Lord is saying, ye are the light of the world. The Lord Jesus is telling us as the light of the world, we are to live a separated life. Because you see, you cannot marry. It's impossible to marry light and darkness. Can't be married. They cannot be brought together. It's one or the other. And when the light comes on, the darkness goes. When the light first dawned upon our souls, the darkness left. Now, we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If the darkness has gone from our souls and our hearts, then why would we seek fellowship with darkness? It's impossible. It is impossible for light to fellowship with darkness. It's one or the other. Romans 13. Paul said, verses 12 and 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. There it is. And let us put on the armor of light. You can't have the both together. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Put ye on the Lord
There's the light. Let your light so shine before men. Let Christ shine before men. Make known the virtues of the Lord Jesus. First Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. We are either light or darkness. There's no fellowship light with darkness. There's no fellowship between Christ and Belial. And then we have the display. The Lord Jesus here speaks about the light being displayed. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. The Lord teaching the disciples here. The Lord was saying to His disciples, ye are the light of the world. And as the light of the world will be looking upon you. The world will be looking at you. Just the same way as you cannot help but look at that city. It's all lit up and there it is, sitting upon a hill. I used to always think of this verse. Been preaching in one of our churches in Ulster in the town of Enniskillen. The church was built on a hill called Chanter Hill. And you could see that church for miles and miles and miles. It was like the city set upon the hill. You couldn't miss it. It didn't matter what part of the town you came into, north, south, east, or west, you could see the church on Chandler Hill. It couldn't be hid. The Lord says, you're the light of the world. You're like a city upon a hill. And everybody will see you. And every eye will be upon you. And you and I know that. You and I know that if the world knows that we are believers, their eyes will be on us every minute they're with us, just to see how we react, how we behave, what we do, what we say. They're listening to our conversation, just as the old Pharisees listened to the words of the Lord Jesus, hoping to catch Him out. The world does the same with you. They're watching our behavior. I remembered in one of the factories I used to work in, there was a believer there. It was before I was saved. And I remember watching this young man. And I remember one thing about him. When the time came to start work at 8 o'clock, he was already at his bench. He was already started to work. And when you saw the others skipping off before closing time, wasting time until it was time to go home, this fellow was still at his bench until the horn blew, signaling the end of the working day. My eyes were on him. I wasn't saved at the time, but I knew he was a professing Christian. And I wanted to see how he lived. And he lived right. And he bore a good witness and a testimony for the Lord. He was like that city set upon a hill. It could not be hid. This is the point which Paul emphasizes in his letter to the Ephesians. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. It must be seen by all who know us that we are indeed the children of light. In our words, our conversation should be that which becometh the gospel. In our walk, in our ways, we are to walk as children of light. That's why the Lord said, you are the light of the world. You're the only light that's in the world. You're the light of the world. Next we have the ineffectiveness of the light. For the Lord Jesus says in verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are. Don't do that. If there's darkness, and there's need for a light, and a candle is lit, you don't go and put that candle under a bushel. How foolish. You would never dream of doing. If you need light in the house, you put the candle on a place that's prominent so that it gives light to the whole room. You don't put it under a bushel. Here's a certain practice. The Lord speaks of a practice that no man would engage in if he had a candle and needed light from that candle in a time of darkness. He would not engage in this foolish behavior. Now the Lord says to His disciples, since you have the light, since you have been brought out of darkness, and you are the light of the world, why then would you hide your? Why would you put your light under a bushel? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense in the spiritual realm either. Doesn't make sense at all. The Lord has given His light. Why then would we hide that light? The Lord has given His light and give us an opportunity to make known the virtues of Christ. Why would we? We have the greatest story ever written. We have that story to tell. We have the greatest Savior any man could have. We have the Savior to preach. Why would we keep quiet about it? Since we have received Christ, we are His lights in this world. Would it not then be most foolish to hide the light? Better if we let our light shine in this dark world, because there are men out there and they're stumbling on in the darkness. And someday they'll trip and fall into hell, and they'll spend eternity in darkness. We need to shine for them. We are the light of the world. We need to shine. We need to show them the way. Just as those lights shine along the edge of the runway, and the plane is coming in, and it's pitch dark. But my, you can see the runway as clear as day. The lights are shining. Guides the plane home. We need to be those shining lights to guide sinners home. Why would we put our light under a bushel? I could suggest a few reasons. fear. Fear. Joseph of Arimathea hid his light. He put his light under a bushel. Why? For fear of the Jews. That's why. He didn't want his light to shine. He didn't want anybody to know he was a follower of Christ because he feared the foe. He feared the Jews. Is that why we hide our candle, our light under a bushel? We're afraid. We're afraid of what the enemies of Christ might say. We're afraid of what the enemies of Christ might think about us. Why would we care? It doesn't matter what the enemy thinks about us. It's what the Lord thinks about us that matters. Let's pull away the bushel and let shine for the Lord. Then there's the bushel of failure. There's the fear of failure. I've given my heart to the Lord. I know I'm a Christian, but I'm afraid of failing. And the people know I'm a Christian and they see my failures. Oh, how they'll come and mock me. And there's the fear of failure. That's why some believers hide their light under the bushel. They hide it under the bushel. Believer, why not take a leaf out of Paul's book? Paul says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'll do it for Christ. Then there's the fear of losing favor with the people of the world. My, if I tell them I'm a Christian, if I tell them that I'm saved, they'll not be my friends anymore. Well, that's nothing new. But I tell you, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of iniquity. I would rather have the favor of God any day than the favor of man. Because man's favor is so fickle. Changes by the hour. You can have someone one week who says, I'll be your friend forever. And the next week they could be your worst enemy. So don't worry about the favor of men. Just concern yourself with the favor of God, because that'll never change. Hallelujah. No matter what we do, no matter how often we stumble, no matter how often we fall, we'll still enjoy the favor of God. Throw away the bushel of fear and let your life. Then you'll notice that there is not only here a certain practice, there's also a certain place. The Lord tells his disciples about the proper place for the lighted candle to be put is to be put on a candlestick. That, of course, is the proper place. Whenever we have a blackout, we run and get the candles, we get the matches and light the candles. And we put them in the room in a prominent place where it will give most light and shed most light throughout the room. That's the obvious thing to do. And here the Lord says, a man who has a lighted candle, he doesn't put it under a bushel, he puts it on a candlestick. He puts it in a prominent place. Placing it on a candlestick or upon a lampstand will make that candle visible to all who are in the house. You know, dear child of God, it's far better going to mix the metaphors now, but it's far better nailing your colors to the mast. It's far better letting everybody know I'm a Christian. And that's it. I was saved on a Monday night. And the next morning, I went into work and I went around all the men and I told them what had happened the night before. I told them, I'm a Christian now. I wanted to nail the colors to the mast. I wanted to set the candle on the candlestick. I wanted the light to shine. I wanted everybody to know Christ was my Savior. Put the candle on a candlestick. Paul, look at Paul. Paul never attempted ever to hide his light. Whether he was locked up in the darkest, deepest dungeon, or whether he stood in the brightest palace, Paul's candle always shone. We mentioned earlier on the reformers. Think of the reformers and the martyrs. Think of those men and women. They didn't try to hide their candle. They didn't try to hide their light. They paid for it with their lives. But my, what a light. As we said, that light is still shining. Even as Hugh Latimer said to his fellow prisoner and fellow martyr, as they stood chained to the stake, and the flames licked their flesh, Latimer said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. And play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England, as I trust shall never be put out." That's lighting the candle. That's letting your light shine. Let your light shine, Master. Next, we have a certain purpose. The Lord said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light." That's the purpose. It's the purpose of the candle. Candle's not to be placed under a bushel. Candle's not to be hid. Just in passing, I notice here, when the Lord Jesus speaks about the candle being put under a bushel, he doesn't mention the candle being extinguished. He doesn't mention the light being extinguished. For you see, once the Lord lights the candle, it's never distinguished or extinguished. It's never put out. Sometimes it may not burn too brightly, but bless the Lord, it will never be extinguished. And the purpose of the candle is to give light. God has saved serve Him. Saved us to labor for Him. Saved us to shine for Him. That's our purpose in life. That's our purpose in life. Wherever we are, whether in the office, whether in the factory floor, whether in school, wherever we are, the purpose is to shine. The Lord Jesus says, "But on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." And so all who were in the close vicinity of that candle burning, they saw its light. And wherever we are, whether in house or factory or office, may all in those places shines on us. And finally, and very quickly, we have the influence of the light. The Lord Jesus says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." There's the influence. First of all, the Lord Jesus likened his disciples unto a candle. That's a small light. Just a small light. A candle light. And yet we see its influence. What does it do? It giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And you might say tonight, oh, what? How much of an influence can I be in my neighborhood? How much of an influence can I be in my office? How much of an influence can I be in my house or in my factory? But the Lord Jesus knows and acknowledges that we're like a candle. Not great lights, small lights. Dearly beloved, as small lights, we can still show men and women the way. We can still show them the way home. Small light, a shining light. May we be shining. Not have our light shining under a bushel where nobody can see it. But shining. Let your light so shine before men. Small light. Shining light. A silent light. Light doesn't make any sound. You light the candle and it burns away there and you wouldn't even. Other than you see its light. And you know, believer, we don't have to be preachers. We can silently shine for Christ. Just how people look upon us. You know, if I was to give a title to the message tonight, it would be The Wordless Sermon. Because every one of us are wordless sermons. Our lives are sermons for people to read. Our lives are messages for people to read. Messages about Christ. Sermons about the Savior. Let people read us and see Jesus. We're wordless sermons. And it's a spreading light. The Lord Jesus there said in verse 15, that put your candle on a candlestick and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. The Lord Jesus mentions three places for the light to shine. First of all, he says, ye are the light of the world. Or rather, you're the light of the world and you're the light in the world. You're the light of the world. We're to shine in the world. The candle is to be put on the candlestick. Revelation 1 tells us the candlestick is a picture of the church. Christ stood in the midst of the seven candlesticks. We're to be a light in the world. We're to be a light in the church. And when the light is put upon the candlestick, it giveth light to all that are in the house. We're to be a light in the world. We're to be a light for Christ in the church. We're to be a light for Christ in the home. We're to let our light shine. Whether we're in the church or at home in the world, the light is still to shine. And shine as brightly in the world as in the house or as in the church. May we indeed shine for the Lord. Ye are the light of the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most loving God and gracious Father, we thank Thee for the one who gave us light. Our Lord, we stumbled on in darkness, blinded by the God of this world. But we rejoice that grace prevailed. We rejoice that grace conquered. And we rejoice that where there was no light, nothing but darkness, we rejoice that now there is light and there's no darkness. We praise Thee, loving Father, that now as children of light, help us, Lord, to walk in the light as Thou art in the light. And if we do so, we'll have fellowship one with the other. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Help us, Lord, to shine as lights in this world. Lord, through our shining, may we lead many, many a wandering lost soul home into the haven of rest. And help us, Lord, to shine for Thee in the world, in the church, and in the house. Lord, write this word in our hearts tonight. May we go home to meditate upon it. May, dear Lord, our thoughts be taken up with Him who is the light of the world. Give all traveling mercy. Keep Thy hand upon us, Lord, until we meet again in this house or in that land where there is no darkness at all. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.